tape was made on December the 10th, 1972, at the home of T.A. Sutliff.
It's okay.
You gonna hold it right there?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's still running?
Uh-huh.
I can hardly think of my life as anything outstanding or different from the lives of others, except that as a young person growing up, we were poor people, and my life could only relate to that category of living. I was born September the 18th, 1920, in Central Texas, near Austin on a farm. That county was considered more of a farming country than it is now. We children came into the world without the equipment and hospitals that are available to almost everyone now. We were delivered by family doctors in the home and reared in a very humble way on one tenant farm after another. I remember in particular one farm where we lived about the time I was getting ready for my first year of school. It was a farm as most were in the small farm, as most were in those days, a farm that four or five mules with two-row equipment could handle, near a hill called Pollock Knob. We lived in a tenant home with meager surroundings, yet in a setting that is rich with memories. A normal day in those days consisted of getting up early and going to bed early. My father would get up around 4 o'clock in the morning, feed his mules and our horse, milk the cows, feed the hogs, while my mother was getting breakfast. Somewhere around 4:30 or 5 o'clock, he would awaken us kids, and we would get up and eat breakfast, get ready for school, saddle our horse, and ride 7 or 8 miles to school. Dad would harness his mules, hitch up to the plow, and be in the field by daybreak. This, of course, was a better time of the day for the mules to work than it would be during the heat of the day. We went to a small country school, 3 teachers, from first grade through high school. The school, located at Creedmoor, Texas, was heated by wood and coal, and had hitching stalls for the horses that most kids rode in those days. A few swings and a softball diamond consisted of their recreation. When returning from school in the afternoons, we would unsaddle our horse, my brother and I, take the horse to the field to exchange for one of the mules that had difficulty in making the day, because he was a fiery mule that pranced in the harness and gave out sooner than the others. We would take this mule to the house, water and feed him, then begin the chores of the afternoon. We shucked corn for the mules, horses and hogs, so that Dad would not have this chore to do when he came in from a day's work. Even the chickens had to be fed, the eggs gathered, the hogs fed, and corn put in the troughs for the mules and horses, and hay put in the manger. Then the cows needed to be milked, and we learned young, out of necessity mostly, because Mom had the house and 4 children to cook for, clothe, wash, and tend to. Days on the farm were not easy, but they had memories that I can cherish.
Did y'all ever have any large get-togethers with the community around? With whenever y'all started shucking the corn or something like that?
No, there were not many community affairs in those days. Mostly with the school, because transportation wasn't what it was today. But we had gatherings mostly of kinfolk and neighbors and friends that came in.
Yes.
We also heated our house and cooked with wood, and we chopped cedar wood in the blocks for stove wood, and went fishing along the little creek that surrounded our house. We had neighbors that lived in the bottom near the creek, and many times we spent fishing down on this little creek and hunting with squirrels and hunting with the dogs along the creek. A few years later, sickness entered in the family, and Dad soon had to give up farming, and he sold what he had to pay doctor bills, whatnot, and we moved from Central Texas to South Texas. I remember at one time when Dad and my mother and my brother was all in the hospital at the same time, and Dad had doctor bills to pay that were not paid until some 30 years later, as he became able to do so. Somewhere in the fall of 1929, we moved to South Texas, which was a big adventure for the family. We had one Model T touring car and one Model T truck, a ton and a half truck. The car was loaded with clothes and my mother and my sister. And the truck, which was an open truck, it didn't have a cab, was loaded until it was almost top-heavy with furniture. My father tied my brother and I on either side of the truck with a rope so that we wouldn't fall off. And we headed towards South Texas.
What's your brother's name?
My brother's name is J.W., and he lives here in Nueces County, mm-hmm. where we live now. Anyway, I shall never forget when we came to the low water bridge that spans the Nueces Bay here at Corpus Christi, which is a part of the 181 highway that runs from Corpus to Austin. And my mother wasn't going as she came to this bridge and we were to cross it. It was a wooden bridge, a low water bridge that gave us was a causeway in those days. My mother wasn't going to drive across all that water and narrow bridge. So we stopped on the north end of the bridge, and my father drove the truck across and then walked back and drove the car across because my mother was afraid to do so. This is the way we came to South Texas in 1929. Dad went to work south of Robstown, between Robstown and Driscoll, on a farm that was owned and operated by Dr. House. Dad went to work for $80 a month and considered this a good salary at the time. He was to be foreman, tractor driver, whatever needed to be done on the farm. And at the same time, we also kept Dr. House in the home and boarded him. We felt like we were somewhat fortunate, more fortunate here than we were in Central Texas. As far as schools were concerned, we were able to ride buses to school, and all went well on the buses until rains came and the roads became muddy, but living conditions here were better than they were in Central Texas. Nueces County was at that time, as it is now, principally a farming community. After 1 year of working for wages, Dad was able to rent, and we moved to a tenant farm near Corpus, or near Oso School, Oso Community, which is known as Tulla Oso now. We attended school at Oso School, and I eventually graduated from school in Robstown High School in 1938. I remember we played softball and tennis at Oso, and in 1932, when it was a small three-room building, we still rode horses to school. We still carried our lunches to school. The school was heated with coal, and we had carbide lights. Then, in 1935, Coach Rocky Rundell, who was football coach in Robstown, saw us playing ball at the county school meet in Robstown. And he camped on my trail then until Dad allowed us to transfer from Oso to Robstown in order that we could finish high school. Since Oso only taught through the ninth grade anyway, it was almost necessary that we do this. Some of my memories in Robstown was being able to play football in the first football game I ever saw. I played 3 years at Robstown, lettered 3 years, and the last year we were quarter finalist in 4A competition. In my last years at school, we moved to a farm near Robstown, near Mathis, which became our home until my father retired a few years ago. Some of the men in Robstown purchased an old car for us, and we used to travel back and forth to school so that we could finish our football career in Robstown. Then upon graduation, I helped my father on the farm, and 2 years later, in June 29, 1940, I was married and then started out farming on my own.
Were there any different ways that they trained y'all in football than back then than they do now? Did y'all have to run a lot or lift weights or anything like that?
No, I can't think of any different ways that we were trained. Training was strenuous, all right. And back in those days, we hardly knew what an offensive team and a defensive team was.
Mm-hmm.
We played both offense and defense. And we enjoyed every minute of it.
Did you do most of your everybody do most of their exercises and things on the farm or do it at school? Or?
No, we practiced from about 3:30 in the afternoon until 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. Then we'd drive home every evening.
Mm-hmm.
We did have what they call in those days as NRA, we had to work certain hours on the football field and maintain it in order that we could earn a little extra money in school.
Do you remember any droughts or storms that came through South Texas between 1929 and 1940 were drastic or something like that, that might have changed the living conditions for some people?
I don't think we had any periods of drought during this time. Everybody was so busy recovering from the depression until they hardly had time for anything else.
Yes.
And times were more lean.
Did a lot of people have to go to Corpus to pick up food to eat and things like that during the Depression?
No. In those days, they may have had give away food. My father was always too proud to accept.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we had as many food lines in those days as they have today. We have in the conditions that we live in today.
Yes, sir. And just everybody just started to help out everybody else.
Well,
you might do for yourself.
Mostly we did without.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own chickens, we had our own hogs, we had our own vegetables, and we used to bring eggs and exchange it at the grocery store, sell at the grocery store in order to buy groceries. And some way or another, we managed. And I think possibly today that we could manage on our own too, if we just would.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of farm help in that from Mexicans and other people, or mainly just the sons and things up out at the farm?
Well, there were farms that employed during those days. We were never able to employ. We had to do our own work because we didn't have the money to employ.
Mm-hmm.
In the later 30s, 35, 36, we were able to hire men, and we were able to get good employees to drive tractors and whatnot at that time. These are what we call the good old days.
Do you remember any folk remedies or anything like that if you got a cold or got sick or got stepped on glass or nails or something like that, what you do?
Well, the folks always had some way of treating us. We very seldom ever went to the doctor. After this period of sickness that we went through in the early 20s.
What type of sickness was that? Or
well, back in those days, there was much typhoid fever and scarlet fever, and right during the war period, First World War period, when the folks had, and then just common sicknesses like appendicitis and things like that that the family had. But when we cut our foot or hurt ourselves some way, well, we usually soaked our foot in kerosene.
Mm-hmm.
It was cleaned up and maybe some kind of salve put on it to keep it in good shape. And we used such things as mustard plasters.
Mustard plaster?
Yeah, that was used in those days when.
Okay. What is that? Mustard plaster.
It's a plaster that my mother used to make up and put on our chest. She put it on our chest and leave it overnight, She'd give us sugar and kerosene to keep us from coughing. And a lot of different home remedies that was used in those days too. Aspirin, of course. We used quite a bit of aspirin. And all kinds of laxatives and purgatives that was a common thing in those days we used.
Mm-hmm. Was mustard plaster from the mustard plant or just the name?
I don't know. Just what it was made up of. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what my mother used in it.
What was your father's and mother's name?
My father's name is L.T. Settler. Lottie Thomas Settler. And he lives in Corpus Christi now. My mother's name was Beulah Settler. And they are both still living and abiding in Corpus Christi.